Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
I want to ask a quick question. We're going to go into our scripture for today. When you were growing up in church, how many people grew up in church? Just kind of raise your hand and everything. Did y'all want to go to church? You don't have to raise your hand to this question, but just kind of think about it, and it's tied into with our young people. How many people were given an opportunity to be able to express their faith before the adult congregation, as our kids were? We may have to get up there and sing some songs. Anybody had to sing the songs when we was up there, you know? I remember one of the songs Tremaine, she used to sing. It was like, Father Abraham. I tried to do that up here with them. They didn't know that song. Y'all know that song, Father Abraham? All right, I see one nod over there. All right, a few people. But we like giving that space, because if they can feel comfortable, hopefully, praying here, they'll feel comfortable praying in their schools and in their community and all of that. But if we don't give them space to exercise their faith here, they may not want to exercise it there. I want to say thank you to the parents and those that are raising our young people, because they're getting that from somewhere, these prayers and this confidence. So you're doing an amazing job, and go ahead and keep doing it. I want to talk a little bit about baptism before we get into the word. And so we are having baptism here at Purpose Church on June the 22nd. We're also having a baby or young child dedication on that date as well. So during the service, kind of during this time here that we spend with our young people on June 22nd, we'll do baby dedication. So, of course, baby dedication, some churches, they baptize babies, like they'll pray to pour the water over them. Here at Purpose Church, we don't believe in baptizing young people. We believe waiting until they reach this, we call it, some people call it age of accountability, where they understand what it means to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. But before they get to that point, we want to speak a blessing over their life. And we want to stand alongside of you, of their parents and guardians, in speaking life over them. So baby or young child dedication will be on June 22nd. There's a sign-up sheet back there if you want to participate in that as a family. But part of that is we as a church, right? So we'll just kind of put a little oil and just kind of touch their head as we do that and pray. But really, it's a prayer for you that God will help you raise these young people. Amen. And God will cover them, but God will help you along the way. And then baptism on June 22nd will take place immediately following a service. And, you know, we'll get baptized. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit as well. But there's two sign-up sheets that's out there that you can take a look at. So, you know, God laid it upon my heart that as we're leading to June 22nd, just teach on baptism a little bit. So, I mean, during today's service, you're going to get two different kind of sort of sermons. One just kind of teaching on baptism, and then I'll preach the message dealing with all in. But let me just read these scriptures to you here, and you may be familiar with them, but I want to read this. It's especially for those that are thinking about getting baptized. I just want to make sure that you have the correct frame of mind as you're doing this. So why do we get baptized? So baptism illustrates Christ's burial and resurrection. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says this. Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth. He says, "For I pass on to you as of first importance what I also received." So meaning that Christ or God gave this message to Paul. He said that Christ died for our sins, according to that which the scriptures have foretold. So we know in the Old Testament, there's all of these prophecies or scriptures that speak about Jesus giving his life or dying for us. For an example, Isaiah 53 speaks of that as well. And so he goes on to verse 4. He says this, "And that we was buried, and that he was bodily raised on the third day, according to that which the scriptures foretold." So one of the reasons, number one, we get baptized is because Jesus died for our sins, and then he was raised from the dead. but it's also an illustration of when we are getting baptized, an illustration of what Jesus did. He was buried. So if you guys can kind of, so for those that want to get baptized, we're going all the way in the water, okay? We ain't going to hold you down there too long. but we're going down in the water. So it's that symbolic of Jesus going down into the grave and then being raised up from the dead, right? So baptism is symbolic of that. So it goes on in Colossians 2:12 and says this: we, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him to a new life through your faith in the working of God as displayed when he raised Christ from the dead. And so the key word that I want to focus on there is through your faith. Listen, and this is very important. Baptism, and I said this last week if you were here, but baptism does not save us. It is our faith in what Jesus did for us, died for our sins and was raised from the dead. It is our faith in what Jesus did for us that saves us. But baptism is this, you know, outward show of an inward change. You may have heard that before as well. And so you'll see a lot of scripture, and this is where people get it twisted, because when they see a scripture such as having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him to a new life, they're thinking like, oh man, when I get baptized, that's when I got saved. No. You got saved by grace through faith. Faith in what Jesus has done for us. Again, baptism is just, hey, Jesus was buried, he was raised, I'm going down in the water, and I'm coming back up as well. And so here's a statement here as we continue on. Baptism, again, does not make us a believer. It shows us that we already believe, right? Baptism does not save us. Only our faith in Christ does that. So baptism is an outward symbol or illustration or sign of the commitment that we have made in our heart. Praise God. So some people got baptized a long time ago. Anybody still got their certificate? Long time ago, right? There's some churches that you have to show your certificate of baptism to join the church. So I see some nodding of heads. Yeah, that was part of one of those traditions as well. But how many of you may have gotten baptized a long time ago, and it was because somebody told you it's a good idea to get baptized? And you really didn't know, like, why I'm doing it. And so you may be one of those people here that says, I got baptized a long time ago. It really didn't connect with me. I don't know why I did it. So can I get baptized again? You sure enough can. You sure enough can. Why? It's just like taking communion. You can take it as often as you want. You can get baptized as many times as you want. God is not going to look down and say, what's wrong with you? You know, all you're doing is saying, like, I'm free. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Jesus died for me. That's all you're doing. And I don't know if you've ever seen these pictures. I'm not saying that we have to do this. Sometimes it's just, you know, emotional. But you ever see these pictures? Somebody, they go down and they jump back out of the water and they're like, yay! And you're like, why are they so excited? Hopefully it's because they realize, like, oh my goodness, I am no longer bound to sin. Like, when my life here is over with, I am going to heaven. Amen? So if you got baptized a long time ago, we are not going to ask for your baptism certificate. We're not going to say, well, didn't you? No, man, this, you know what this is between? You and God. And we are just here as a church to say, how can we assist you today? That's what we're here for. Let me share a few more scriptures dealing with this one here. I love this scripture. It's in the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, little more to it, that is, grafted to him, joined to him by faith in him as their Savior, it says that that person is a new creature, reborn, renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, all things or new things have come because a spiritual awakening brings a new life. So when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, and if you can remember today, if you're here today and you've already done that, if you can remember the day that you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and it just was, you just felt like a new person, and you're calling your relatives and everybody and saying, guess what I did? And they're like, what? You said, I got saved. They're like, what does that mean, right? I don't know what you're talking about. Why? Oh, you got to go to church. You got to come to my church and everything. Why? Because what happened on the inside of us spiritually was this awakening. We woke up. We were resurrected. Now, that was a spiritual thing that happened. Guess what continues to drag along? This mind. And this is the reason why sometimes we can, you know, if you can remember back then, or, you know, you gave your life to Christ and you were like floating through your job, just like everybody need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. You're bringing your Bible and all that kind of, you were leaving like, remember we used to do tracks? You're leaving tracks on people's desks and stuff like that. And this, we don't even do tracks like that no longer. And then over time, you know, it just kind of, you start going down. Why? Because your mind has to be renewed. Your spirit is awoke, but your physical body and your mind and all that kind of stuff is kind of like, you know, Saturday coming. And you remember what we used to do on Saturday night? But your spirit is saying, no, we can't do that because you know, I belong to God. But your mind is like, that's all good. But I have a habit of wanting to go out every Saturday. And you haven't changed my mind yet. This is your mind talking to you. I remember I gave my life to Christ. And I used to go up to Philly. There was a club up there called Gotham Nightclub. And every Friday night, because I was too young to go to the adult club, Friday nights, we went to the Gotham nightclub. And I'd given my life to Christ. And we went up on South Street. South Street is a better Lockerman Street, I'll put it that way. It's a whole lot going on, right? Music, people walking, all that kind of stuff. And I'm a Christian now. But for the last few years, this was what I used to do. Go up there, do some stuff, go party. But now I'm a Christian. And I'm standing on the corner, profiling. I don't know how I used to stand. I don't know how I used to stand back then. And these Christian people came up that were out there evangelizing. And it was about five of us standing on the corner. And guess who they came to? The one that was a Christian. I don't know about my cousins and my friends. And they walked up to me. Hey, you know you shouldn't be out here, and gave me a tract. So what do you think I did? Put it in my back pocket. Still went to the club. How am I telling I was the driver. But after that night, I couldn't do it. So what I'm saying is this. If you're here today, and even if those that you get baptized, please know this, that you can give your life to Christ, you can go all in, you can get baptized, you can come to church every Sunday, but if you don't renew your mind and start changing your behaviors, your mind will dictate to you where you're going to go, what music you're going to listen to, who you're going to hang out with. And this is where Paul talks about there's this war that goes on. Just because you surrender your life to Christ don't mean that your flesh, which is your physical body and your mental, just going to lay down and say, hey, whatever you want to do. There is this war that goes on. And God is constantly talking to us and saying, hey, you shouldn't go to South Street. And our mind is like, what you mean? That's what we do on Friday nights. And what am I going to tell my friends? Like, I'm a Christian now? I didn't tell my friends I was a Christian. What? What's that all? Oh, Will, you can't hang out with us no more? What you like, you too good? And so I was too ashamed to stand up. But I did get to the point where eventually I said, I can't do that. There was a festival in Philly, Fairmount Park. They would call it the Greek Fest. And every summer, people will buy their most famous clothes. Back then, famous clothes was Tim's basketball jersey and some jeans. And you just go out there and you profile, and all the different fraternities and sororities and everybody else will be out there. And we were planning to go there, but I gave my life to Christ like right before that event happened. And I had to tell my friends, this is what I told them. This was a lie, and I believe I asked Jesus to forgive me. Hey, y'all, I got a baby on the way. I can't be hanging out like that no more. But the reality was that I gave my life to Christ. And I didn't want to do that no more. There was a lot of crazy stuff happening at the Greek Fest, y'all. And I never went back. For me personally, God had to move me from out of the city and move me here to Dover because I believe that he knew I would not have been able to handle it. And so if God, and this is part of my message a little bit today, is trying to move you and you're being stubborn, it might be that he's trying to move you, whatever move mean to you, isolate you, get you disconnected, because the environment or the people or the spaces and places that you're in, you cannot fight it. And this is amazing because we have God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you literally have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, living and dwelling on the inside of you. But this mind is so powerful. How is it that you can have God, the God of the universe, the God that raised Jesus from the dead, but your mind still say to you, we're still going to do that. And we know it's wrong. So it's just not enough to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and have the Holy Spirit, this Pentecost Sunday, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, but not doing other things that just logically make sense. Like, hey, I need to turn that off. I need to not answer the phone. I need to put that down. I need to stay out of these different environments. You, I'm going to use the word, I forgot Rocky's wife, but she said to him, you can't win. He did win. But she was just letting him know in the state that he was in, he cannot win that fight. And I'm saying this to anyone, all of us in here. If God is trying to move you, if he's trying to shift you, please go with him. You know why? Because he knows better for our life. That where you might be hanging out mentally, physically, wherever it is, you cannot handle that. It's too much. And I pray that somebody hears that. It's too much. So you just, sometimes we try to spiritualize everything. You just need to make a logical decision that I'm not going to talk to them. I'm not going there no more. I'm not watching that no more. I'm not listening to that no more. I'm not doing that no more. And God, please, by your Spirit, help me. But you have to start it. Amen. Because we can pray, God, please help me. And God's help comes, but we're still over here. And God is saying, I told you to get over here. This is where my help is at. And we're saying, God, please, but over here, I need your help as I'm in this club. Please deliver me, God, from this type of lifestyle. But the whole time, I'm still in the club. It don't make sense, does it? But maybe our circumstance is not that extreme. Maybe it's not a club for you like it was for me. Maybe it's not standing on South Street like it was for me. What is it? What is it that you might still be hanging out with and asking God to help you, but you're still hanging out with the thing that he said that you're asking him to help you with? Is this making sense? So God is a very present help in the time of trouble. So I'm going to skip past some of these scriptures just so I can talk a little bit about this. And we've been in this area because there's something that I just shared that I believe I want to kind of share in this message. If you've been following along with us, please note that on our website, you can get the audio version of these preached messages. So if you need to get caught up. So we've been using Abram as an example of going all in. And if you can just grasp some of this as we share a little bit here. It says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Here's one of the first notes here, if you can capture this. It is easy to focus on the times where we didn't sense God. Or you may be in this place right now where you don't sense God's presence, and you're wondering, God, where are you? It is easy to focus on that. Where were you? Where are you? But how about focus on the times when you know it had to be God with you? Like, increase that meditation. It's so easy to focus on, God, I don't understand why this is going on, and where are you, and how come you're not talking to me? How come you're not leading me? How come you're not delivering me? It's very easy to focus on those things. But what I believe God is asking us to do today is, okay, if you want to journal that and write all those different things down, write it down. Maybe you want to ball it up in a piece of paper and just throw that in the trash. But how about you get another piece of paper and say, you know what? God, when I was growing up, there's a lot of different things that could have happened in my life. It had to be you that kept me. Or God, you know, this family, it had to be you to provide for me. Or God, you know, I was diagnosed with this a long time ago, but it has to be you that's keeping me right now. Focus on the areas where you know it had to be God. You know why? Because that increases our faith. Because the other areas that I don't know where God was, you know what that does? Increases our fear, increases our doubt, increases our anxiety, increases our worry, all the stuff of the flesh. But if I can pinpoint areas where, you know what? I'm not sure 100%, but I have an inkling that it had to be God that kept me during that time. And I believe that it had to be God during that time. And I believe it had to be God. All that is doing is giving you evidence. It is giving you information. It's giving you substance. Right? Hebrews says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's the first thing I just want to share with us. Please let this be an exercise that we do today. If you need to get the doubt out, get it out through prayer, through writing it down, whatever it is. Get it out of your system for right now. It's going to come back, right? Because doubt and stuff have a way to keep trying to pollute our mind. But work on getting it out. But please see this and hear this. Imagine your heart being a bucket and you dump out the doubt. Then guess what you need to do with the bucket? Take it over to faith and fill it up. So what you're doing is, I don't know why this happened. I don't know why I have this. I don't know why this is going on. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want to be here. Dump it. Then come over here and say, but you know what, God? I believe that you kept me. I believe that you're with me. And what you're doing is worshiping God and praising God. And it literally says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So maybe one of the reasons why we're not feeling God is because we're not even telling him how awesome he is. We're calling him up. Where were you? Don't nobody want to hear that. If you call me and all you have to say to me is negative stuff, you know what I'm doing? I'm hanging it up. So why would God want to entertain? You know what God used to do? When certain people in the Bible would say, Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? Well, you know, the people that, you know, they're trying to kill me and I'm the only one left. You know what God, he didn't even entertain and go there with him. He told him the next thing that he needed to do. God doesn't hang out in our murmuring and complaining. He's always like, let's move. Moses, these people, God's like, let's move. Adam, the woman you gave me. Adam, let's move. So what are we saying? Our bucket of complaining. And this ain't being perfect, y'all. This is just saying, like, commit things to God for real. But please, Don't stay there empty. God, I hate it. And you know, some people, God, I don't even like me. God, I don't even know if I love me. Say it. God's not offended by these things, but he doesn't want us to stay there. But God, I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And sometimes it's hard to receive that. God, I know that you love me unconditionally. God, I know that you have a plan for my life. And then what you do is grab your phone and you just start Googling the promises of God and you just keep speaking it and you fill up your bucket. What are you doing? You're not necessarily filling up your spirit. You're filling up your mind, your will, your emotions. You are telling your body and your mind that I need you to get out of here and get on over here. You're spending too much time over here. And God is saying, go on, get it out. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Get on out. But come on over here and speak some stuff into your bucket that will increase your faith in God. So the next time this conversation comes, you got something to fight it. Come on, remember Jesus? When the devil tempted him, if you are the Son of God, right? And you throw yourself down here, turn it, stone into bread and all that. What did Jesus come back with? It is written. And so sometimes, whether it's the enemy, circumstances, or our own self that condemns us, you know, the person that condemns us the most, I just kind of gave, you know, the secret. It's us. We be beating ourselves up. And we'll tell ourselves, you deserve this. You messed up. And sometimes in those moments, the only thing that can pull us out of self-condemnation is the word, is God in his word. It says to you, now, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. That's a promise, y'all. And so I believe that that's part of the message today is rehearse, meditate, which is thinking, pondering, but can include speaking. Rehearse the God moments. Can you remember the God moments? Can you bring them up? Some of us need to, because they've been buried by whatever it's buried by. Come on, you are love. God loves you. Amen? And he loved you so much that, of course, he gave his son. Let me just share a little bit more. So Abram worships God. He builds this altar to honor the Lord. And then he moves, the part that I want you to see out of these scriptures is, then he moved from there to the mountain on the east of the Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And then guess what he does again? So he worshiped God in one place, and then he moves, and then he builds an altar, and he begins to worship God in another place. And so, you know, what is our movement? So I shared this on Bible study, is we have to be careful how much space we're creating between the time that we're worshiping God. Some of us are very busy, 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 because you're busy, you're busy, you're active. But are there these moments in your life throughout the week or throughout the day where you just kind of, you get somewhere and you say, on purpose, I'm spending time with God. I'm going to have devotion and spend time with God on purpose, and then I'm going to continue. So see this, the sequence that Abram is doing. He gets to a place, and then he honors God. He builds an altar, honors God. Then he moves to another place, and then he honors or he worships God. He calls on the name of the Lord. And you'll see this in the life of Abram. And here's the question for us. Do we have moments on purpose? I should say this, excluding Sunday service. Can I challenge us there? Excluding Sunday service, we can include that. But all Sunday service is supposed to do is kind of like jumpstart you into your own personal time. It's not supposed to be a substitute for your own personal time. It's supposed to like get you like, come on, remember, like spend time with God yourself. But are there these moments? And however you reward, you feel God leading you to break it up. Is it throughout the day? Is it throughout the week? But that you on purpose sit down, drive, whatever you do, but it's you and God. You and God. And for the married folks in here, stop leaning on your spouse's faith. Amen? You and God. That's what God is calling us to today. So I want to stop there. And I want to challenge us in our life. Are those moments where you're on purpose or spending time with God? Abram used to worship other gods where he came from. So this experience with the God of Israel is brand new. Why am I saying that? Is that there was, besides what he knew back then, there was no one to show him necessarily how to worship this new God. And why am I saying that? You worship God the way that you feel you need to. Please don't get caught up, and I shared this before, and okay, maybe this is the way to do it. If you need, you know, somewhere to kind of get started, hey, you should read these scriptures, or hey, here's some good songs, so be it. But it has to be personal. It has to be personal. Because sometimes when we do what other people are doing, when we get into a real fight, we're trying to pull in what other people are doing in this fight because we don't know how to fight our fight. How would my grandma pray? That might help you for a little while, but you got to know how to pray. What would my uncle tell me to read? That's cool, but what are you reading? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And that's where God wants us to be, that maybe I start off this thing, you know, like, okay, that's how I'm supposed to do it. That's okay. That's how I'm supposed to do it. But after a while, it's like a child riding a bike. Come on, that person lets go and you're pedaling down. And when you fall, that person is still right there to help pick you up and say, you got this, you got this, you got this. Keep going. But you've got to start pedaling this walk of faith on your own personal time. Amen? So that's it. If we can just kind of think about that for a moment. How can I, throughout this week, spend personal time with God? Think about it right now. Some of y'all are traveling this week. Where can I create space to build an altar unto the Lord, call on his name, and pray and praise and thank him, read his word? And I'm not doing it because Pastor Will said, do it. Well, maybe I'll be encouraged by doing that. I'm not doing it to be religious. I'm doing it because I want my life to be changed. I want my life to be changed. I want transformation. And that's what Pentecost was about. They waited. The Holy Spirit showed up. Whew, man. And they went. They changed the world for Jesus Christ. Whew, man. That's where we're at. And that's going all in. And we have a lot of things here at Purpose Church that you can plug into, and prayer and Bible study. I can't make it Monday night virtually Bible study. You know what? Just go online and listen to this word. Or listen to, I don't know. But can I just like really just challenge somebody this week? I know people, they're kind of like, I'm fasting, you know, and I believe in fasting. But can I just challenge us this week? Can I just challenge us this week? Just substitute one thing. This week, whatever you've been listening to that does not glorify God, can you substitute it with something that glorifies God? Now, some of y'all are like, I always listen to music to glorify God. All right, you find something else. Whatever you watching that don't glorify God. I haven't watched the series yet, but they tell me The Chosen is pretty good. Why don't you watch something that glorifies God? He said, I always watch stuff that glorify God. Okay, what you saying that don't glorify God? Can you stop saying that, right? Stop saying, excuse me for a moment, but I'm, you know, and start, come on, y'all get what I'm saying? Can like part of fast, if you want to fast and push the plate away or something like that this week, so be it and all that. But I'm just saying, can we just start simple. Stop listening to that. Change your playlist or try to, because... So YouTube gonna keep popping up things that you've been listening to. And a good way to know whether or not it has been renewed will be based upon, I forget what algorithms or whatever that is called, will determine whether or not, look, that's a siren going off saying, look, y'all need to change it. It's urgent. Right now. It's an emergency. And for some people here, it is. It is that serious. The siren is going off. Boy, that almost reminds you of the rapture. Like, Jesus, if that happened, I'm still here looking at y'all. We got a problem. And if y'all still looking at me, we got a problem as well. Amen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it says the trumpet shall sound. It should be the shout of an angel. Amen. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but it talks about in the Thessalonians that to save, I'm going to put it this way, those that are in Christ will be raised in the twinkling of an eye. And I'll lead into this. So here, if you have not surrendered your life to Christ, we're going to pray a prayer, that simple prayer for you to surrender your life to Christ. The Bible says this, no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall appear. And so if you hear somebody saying that the end of the world is going to be Y2K, remember that? They lying. Because the Bible says, no person knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will appear. But if you haven't given your life unto Christ, you will be left behind. Because those that belong to Jesus Christ will be caught up in the twinkling of an eye.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.